2 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better.
Now, business can be super duper busy, and it can be so overwhelming sometimes. And you get to this point where you go, what on earth am I going to do next? Now, my problem with going, what on earth am I going to do next, is then I do precisely nothing. I do lots and lots of busy work, none of which is actually what needs to be done. And I get thrown names at me like, are you procrastinating? My business partner will walk into my office and my desk will be immaculately tidy. And her response is, have we been procrastinating? I think the saving grace for today is I've just met this fabulous gentleman. His name is Ken Holtzman, and he has a business called The Procrastination Guy. So I'm assuming that he's not going to teach me how to procrastinate better. He's going to teach me how to stop doing it. Ken, welcome.
Thank you.
Have I got that right? You're actually not teaching me how to procrastinate better. You're actually trying to solve this as a problem.
That's true, because most people are really good at procrastinating already, and they don't need me to show them how to do it.
I'm a superstar at it.
Yep. What they need me is to guide them through how to avoid procrastinating, get more done in less time, and meet the challenge of change.
Okay. But isn't procrastination a good thing?
It can be. It can be. There's positive procrastination and there's negative procrastination.
I find I do some really good thinking when I'm procrastinating.
Exactly. And I was just listening to a video yesterday about the fact that when we daydream is when we are at our most productive. So if you are doing nothing, then you're not procrastinating. You're actually letting your subconscious start doing planning and doing all the things that you should be doing when you're conscious anyway, but we don't. So that's fine. That's not procrastination.
So now I can say to my husband, I'm not procrastinating. I am dreaming and creatively organizing my future.
Correct.
Thank you, Ken. That's great. I'm taking that and running with it.
Once you've done that, then you need to stop, put that into concrete terms, and that's really what I show people how to do.
So at what point does the daydream become procrastination? Is that minute 15, minute 18, hour 3?
I don't think it's a definite time. It's when you are dreaming about things that have absolutely nothing to do with what you want to achieve in life.
Right. Well, that seems a fair thing. So if I'm giving myself space to think about ways that I could perhaps achieve my goals differently, or helping to put some thinking and some definition around my goals, that's usefully spent time.
Correct.
But if I'm waffling on about whether or not I'm actually going to have cheese for dinner, or I'm going to add cheese, or just the type of cheese I'm adding to the lasagna, and whether I'm organising my paperwork and perhaps recolour grading my pencils, that would be procrastination.
That would be procrastination.
Okay.
That's what we call avoidance behaviour.
Avoidance behaviour. Oh, okay. Now we've got lots of words for the same thing. Brilliant. Okay, so no avoidance behaviour, daydreaming is fine. So, how do you... I mean, there's a billion books out there, and there seems to be a billion programs. And the key to them seemed to be, just do it. Get over it, get on with it, put on your big girl panties and just deal with your life. I've tried that. It doesn't work. I can give myself the best pep talk in the morning. I can journal, I can go, I just have to get on with it. And yet I still have a very tidy desk by the end of the day. How can you help?
Right, well, there are two ways of doing that. Let's just first of all talk about why people procrastinate.
Oh yes, let's.
Okay. So the first reason is that they have the wrong goals.
Fair enough.
So if you have, first of all, they might be goals that don't fit in with your own inherent beliefs and values, and they're usually goals that other people give you. So a classic example of that is the son of a doctor who has to go to medical school. So that's one kind. The other two are that they set goals that are too high. So if they're too high, then you get disenchanted and you get disempowered, disillusioned.
I'm never going to get there anyway. What's the point in putting any effort in? Okay, I get it. So first of all is the one that someone's given you a goal that doesn't fit with who you are, what you want to be.
Correct.
And the second one is that somebody decided that I was going to walk to the moon, I needed to build a bridge, and that was next to impossible, and I don't believe it myself. So
yeah, it's when you set a goal. So some people say, well, you should shoot for the stars because you might land up on the moon.
Mm.
But that's wrong thinking, because you might miss the moon too, and then you're just drifting in space. What you should do is aim for the moon and walk on the moon. So a goal that is achievable.
Right.
The other goals are those that are too low, so they're too easy and they just become boring and you don't get, again, disempowered because it's too easy.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in between those two is what I call the Goldilocks goals.
Goldilocks goals.
Yes, they're not too high, they're not too low, they're just right for you. And we all have heaps of goals that we can achieve.
I love that. I'm taking the time to write that down. Goldilocks goals. So not too high, not too low, just right for you. And I think the for you is the important part there.
Yes.
Because my goals can't be your goals because you don't know what I'm trying to do with my life.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully you do.
Well, maybe I need some help with that. I think sometimes we do tend to dream big because we've been told, you know, you can do anything you set your mind to. And I think that's really true, and dreaming is really important. But as you know, you often hear, dreams are, without timelines, without purpose, are just dreams. To have goals, you've got to have tangible, they've got to be achievable, they've got to be all the other achievable, the ables which go with that.
That's right. The wrong goals is one reason people procrastinate.
Okay.
Tied in with that is a lack of focus. If you don't have clear focus of where you want to go, that's also a reason for procrastinating. The third reason is that we don't have an action plan. So goals are great, but goals are big things up here, and you can't go from ground zero to achieving the goal. What you need to have is to break that down into, first of all, short, medium, and long-term goals that you can achieve, and then from that into day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, and break that down into little micro steps that we can see. So you don't even have to believe that you can achieve your goal. You just have to believe that you can do the first step. And once you've done that, then you can do the second step. And then eventually, you will get to the goal.
It was Muhammad Ali who said that you don't need to see the top of the stairway to take the first step.
Exactly.
So yeah, and that's exactly what I'm saying. There's one step at a time, you just keep moving up one step at a time.
Yep.
And occasionally, I guess you do end up a couple of steps backwards, but you're still moving in that general direction towards
yes.
what you
so
want.
The key is to have those steps planned out. So you have your goal, but you need to break it down into an action plan, day by day, week by week,
etc. What do you do if I've got this great action plan? I am a list queen. I have lists of my lists. I have a book called The Book of Lists, all three, you know, the first, second, and the third edition. I'm a fanatical list maker. And so I feel so defeated sometimes when I get to the end of the day and I've not ticked off any of these goals. So I just think, oh. So I've created lots of little bits and pieces, lots of lines of things to achieve. And I feel quite defeated at the end of the day. I haven't achieved anything. Is that what having the larger goals is all about, so you can see that you're moving in the correct general direction?
Yes. So in the action plan that we have, say we got four goals. So for each day, just need to write down what you've achieved towards that goal. It doesn't have to be a lot of things. It could just be one thing. But if you do that every day, then you will get to your goal. So for example, if you want to get fit and you've got a dog, then one task you might be wanting to do each day is to walk the dog. So you just record that. So each day that you don't walk the dog, you have a record of the fact that you didn't do it. You don't have to beat yourself up about it, but just the fact that you are recording that will help keep you on focus and keep you on track.
That's one of the tools you've got. You see people with the printed out calendar on the wall and they put a sticker or a cross or a smiley face or something when they went to the gym or they did whatever they're doing. We use that with our children. Yeah. Is they get the stickers, they got to get 17 stickers by the end of the week with the little smiley faces. I did my bed and I did my teeth and I put my clothes away and I took my lunchbox out of my bag when I got home from school. And these are so effectively forming habits with these repetitive tasks.
Yes, it's a similar approach.
Okay. So has this been always a magic skill of yours to help people stop procrastinating?
No.
No? Were you a procrastinator, a closet procrastinator yourself?
I'm a recovering procrastinator.
Do we ever really? Recovering? Is that like a recovering alcoholic? I will always be a procrastinator, but currently I'm recovering. So what did you do before you became the procrastination guy?
Before I became a procrastination guy, I've also always been interested in helping people and training people, but I started off in a completely different field. I started off being a mass murderer.
Of course. It's a good career.
Yes, yes. Well, it wasn't because I was no good at it.
You were no good at it. Yes. I only got one or two deaths under my belt and then I gave up, yeah.
Yes. So what I was doing research in biochemistry.
Right.
On bugs. We call them Staphylococcus aureus, but they're just bugs. That's what I started off in my career after uni. So every afternoon I would put up a whole batch of bugs to grow and then every day I would try to kill them. But after a couple of years of that, they were winning.
This is not good.
So this was not good. So I changed careers and got into IT.
Of course, because going from the attempted mass murder of bacteria to computers is a logical step.
It is. I went from biological systems to logical systems.
Nice. Right. So with your logical systems, how did that career work out for you?
That worked out pretty well. I sort of progressed through being a systems analyst to a project leader, project manager. Then I became a consultant. Then I became a state manager and became sort of got into the executive of the organization I was working from. And then once you reach your peak, you sort of, and particularly with IT, you get to the stage where you can no longer do, so you teach.
Yes.
So I became a teacher, a trainer. And I enjoyed training people, but after a while I got a bit sick of doing the point and click training.
Yes.
I much prefer to react with people. And so that's how I got into coaching.
Right. So did you start in coaching in IT, or did you just change to a more business style? Well, of course, because I guess the procrastination is a business skill or a business coaching skill. Yeah.
So I started, I also like to do public speaking. So I was a public speaking coach. I am a public speaking coach, and particularly with adults, but also with kids. I do a lot of work with Rotary, adjudicating their speaking competitions.
Oh, cool.
Things like that. So I was doing that. I was also training project management rather than the actual use of the technology. So that again was getting into people skills, and from there it just. And along the way, we also, my wife and I also had a school for kids, teaching them how to use computers. So,
oh, cool.
So all of that sort of led to getting into this. So having got, working big business and work for big business clients, then running a small business myself, I had a lot of skills in all of that area.
A whole bunch of transferable.
Things that I thought would be suitable to helping people. And I came across YB12 and procrastination and goal setting and all of that.
Mm.
And so that's how I got into it.
This is going to sound wrong, obviously, and no offence meant to any of our other listeners who are working in this space, but when I'm looking for a coach or I'm looking for someone to help me on my journey, someone who is 22 years old, who's just got spat out of uni, college, wherever, it's a bit like walking into a financial planner's office or someone you need advice from. They just don't seem to have been on the planet long enough, to have the experience. I mean, they might be very good, but you almost feel like you need someone who's a bit older, who's been around the block a few times, who's had the experience to establish those street creds so they can not just go, oh, well, the book says this. You go, hang on a minute. I know what that feels like. I've been through something similar. That sounds strange, but it gives it almost, I think, a legitimacy to a coach to be able to draw on their own personal experience rather than just what a textbook says should happen next.
Yes, that's the third level of education you get. So you go to school, you go to university, and then you go to the school of hard knocks. And that knocks all the rough edges off.
And it's not their fault they haven't been on the planet long enough. It's just
well,
how it
well
is.
Well, it is.
Well, they were, I guess they could have been born earlier, you're right. Okay, so what is the most common challenge that you find people come up against when they're procrastinating? Like, if you could just tell our listeners one thing to do tomorrow which will make a difference to the world, what would it be?
It's what you just said before about just do it.
I think that slogan's already
taken.
That's
already taken, I know. But I was reading another book recently by Mel Robbins, and she has a thing called the five-second rule. It's just a technique that you use. There's a lot of science behind it in the way that our brains work. So
great interruption technique.
Yeah, so it just interrupts what your procrastinating thoughts. And because you're counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you can't go any lower. So then it's go, blast off, whatever it is. So you just do something.
Yeah. And it doesn't actually matter what you do, just as long as it's something to break that.
Breaking that thing. Okay. Yeah. Whereas if you say, I'm going to do this, as parents we do that. I'm going to count to 3, 1, 2, 2.5.
Nobody's moved yet.
Nobody's moving. And they know that once you get to 3, you can go to 4. But if you're counting, and you know that. And if you're counting down, once you get to 1, you can't go any lower.
Yeah, because 0 is go, yeah.
0 is go, and you can't say -1, -2. So it's really clever the way that works.
Mm. I think she also talks in there, if I'm remembering the correctly, about excitement versus fear, and that the physiologically they're the same. So what you can do is with your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, is to go, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about it, even though your brain's going, don't make me do it. And you can transfer that physical, the heart racing, the feeling of that into an excitement about a task rather than a fear about a task. So I guess that's it. Sometimes we don't do stuff because we're just afraid. Yep. Okay, so the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it.
Yes.
Is your learning for the day.
That's my learning for today.
Brilliant. So if people want to have a chat with you about more than 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, with the learning from the YB12 and the coaching system, because that's two different ways of doing that, isn't there?
Two different ways. There is one is done over 12 months. So what happens there is we start off, first thing we do is we work with you on your vision, your theme for your life, and we look at all aspects of your life as well. So not just work, because we need to have a balance. We look at the areas of your financial, family, relationships, career, etc. Mm-hmm. And where you're at now, and we do a kind of thing called the wheel of life. So you mark off on the spokes where you are. And if you have a balanced life, well, then it's a nice, smooth wheel. But for most people, we find that it's a bit bumpy.
Yeah, I think I would end up with backache if I was currently riding my wheel. Yes.
So we work on a theme for your life in all of those areas, what you would like to achieve, and then use that to then establish goals. Somewhere up to around about 4 is a good number, 4 to 8, but you don't want too many. And then from that, you do an action plan, a day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade even, plan of where you want to go. Then we provide support for that and encouragement. So with your action plan, you can then start working on that. Mm-hmm. And every week, every day of the week, you record steps you've taken towards those goals. And then we deliver these different modules. So we start off with, I'm talking about commitment, and we talk about procrastination, and we talk about the road to fulfillment, and so on and so on. And so every month, check in with you, see how you're going on plan, give gentle push in the right direction.
Kick in the butt, yep.
Yep, I knew you were going to say that. And deliver the other module. And all of those things just help stimulate you along. And the other thing that we do, which is really, really powerful, is that at the very beginning, we get you to write a letter to yourself, dated 12 months from when you start. So it's you describing in the present tense your life 12 months from now.
Nice.
And then in the last session that we do, we unseal that and you get to read it. And generally we find, and hopefully it works with you as well, is that you've achieved far more than you thought you were going to achieve.
Yeah. So. Brilliant. Now, what if I don't have 12 months to get started? Is there a Kickstarter-y thing I can do first, or?
Okay, so we run a thing called a Total Focus Workshop,
okay,
which is 2 3-hour sessions a week apart. Mm-hmm. In the first one, what we do is we cover self-assessment, where you are now, and then the second part is in action planning, so it's the goal setting, etc., similar to what you would do at the beginning of the 12-month program. And then in the second half, we cover two topics. We cover emotional management and mind mastery.
Oh, mind mastery. So that's calming the monkey brain type thing, the whole jabber-jabber which is going on?
Yep, exactly.
Fantastic.
And then at the end of that, we then set you a 90-day challenge.
Cool.
So you have to go through the process, get some objectives, and do an action plan over the next 3 months. And usually we get people to do that in pairs because they come to the workshop.
Yep.
So they get together once a week and beat each other up as to what they have and haven't done.
Oh, accountability partners, so important for changing the habits.
It is, and I also get in touch with you as well and help out in any questions you have or if you need a bit of a push.
So I can get a Kickstarter to go there, really get my teeth into it, get a feel for perhaps what it's like to work with you and whether this is going to work for me, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Do you have people who do this Kickstart program and then perhaps roll into the 12-month program? So I can get going, get some stuff organised and then engage with you for 12 months and to really solidify what's going on.
Yeah, people do that.
That sounds like such a good idea.
In fact, some people, it hasn't happened to me, but some people will do the 12-month program and then do it again.
Obviously it works for them.
It works for them and they're happy to have somebody there sort of as their guardian angel just pushing them through 12 months at a time.
Guardian angel versus butt kicker. Got it.
Yes.
Cool. So if people want to engage with you about this and they want to have a chat about perhaps the ways that you can help them or some of the big walls that they're running into that they're not sure what to do next. What's the best way for them to get hold of you, Ken?
Okay, they can get hold of me either via email. My email address is ken@kenholzman.com.
Right, that's an LZ with no T.
Got it. Or they can phone me on my mobile, which is 0407 944
369. Fantastic, because let's face it, sometimes you just know you should be able to do something better, but you're just running out of ideas about how. So you go to the internet to find out how, and all you end up doing is procrastinating more and falling down rabbit holes. I think a conversation with you would be far more sensible.
That's right. And for organisations who have teams that they want to improve their performance, I also can give a free introductory talk, which mm-hmm. goes for about 30 to 45 minutes, that just goes through some of the things we talked about and more about why, about procrastination and ways to overcome it. And from there, then people can then say, oh, this sounds good, and then embark on the program. And so I can do it for the teams for an organization, and often the people themselves will pay for it, but sometimes the organizations think this is such a great idea that we'll pay, or we'll pay half as an incentive to get people to do it, because it's all about personal development. So we really want buy-in from the people who are doing it, not just something management's told you to do.
Mm. Again, otherwise it comes back to those goals, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The goals which someone else has set for you.
That's right. So if we get that sort of half and half, it's a win-win.
Brilliant. Well, I hope lots of people call you, because let's face it, there should be less procrastination in the world, especially in the business world. And if we can get some things churning over, then maybe we'll start to work towards those goals.
That's right. Cool. So don't procrastinate. Call me.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.